This is Grace Cavalieri, and today we're talking about conversations in writing. And today's topic is the energy of poetry, the first of four areas of poetry energy that we write from. Everything is energy, and there are physicists bigger than I am who can prove it. I only sense this because our knowledge of energy does our writing for us. Without it, language sleeps. So that each of the energy centers of our lives talks to us about our writing lives. The first area is that of the tribe. And for that, I'd like to share with you a poem by Charles Olson, which is called These Days. Whatever you have to say, leave the roots on, let them dangle, and the dirt, just to make clear where they come from. I always like to quote that poem because it really grounds us into talking about our roots, where we can reach back to ancestors, oral traditions, parents, and childhood. We can spend a lifetime of writing from here. This is a tremendous energy source. To tap into this, I often ask people to imagine their lives as a building. Each year is a different floor. So if you're 30 years old, you have 30 floors. And at the end of your life, when you stand on the roof and the helicopter flies you away, the building crumbles. But until then, it is there for us to enter again and again, to get in the elevator and push the button and ride up the floors. Get out and take a look about. You may find on floor 4, when you were 4, maybe a dispute in the kitchen or your mother's sadness. Maybe on floor 10, the kid in the cafeteria everyone bullied and you did not help. On the 20th floor, the person you did not marry. All these stories are there to tell. I have a friend, Robert Sargent, who at 94 still went into the past to write a poem. Once he told me that his mother asked him to visit a neighbor, an elderly woman across the street, and he lied, and he said he did this and he did not. He was 5 years old. Well, I said, Robert, you're on the 5th floor of your building. And he didn't know what I meant, but because he was able to write a poem every day, he was going into the elevator of his life. We create our own reality. Now apply this to the management of your writing. What are the circuits of energy? What memory is keeping you alive? Are we using the harvest that memory produces? Enter the time warp to go into that database. What are the belief patterns there? Superstitions, time and space beliefs, prejudices. The person my parents would not let me invite to the wedding in the name of respectability. This is a poem. Whatever memory you finance will come back to you as material. If we do not use it, we are wasting an investment. What you yourself believe in, what you yourself believe in, is where you'll get the energy from what I call the first level of writing. This is where you also plug into what nurtures you, what makes up your life force. Maybe there are hurts which nurture you, disappointments you keep alive because the comfort of that soft fiber. This is the place where you command the reality to be what it was or make it different. Facts are often the enemy of the truth. Facts are linear. So with the direct line back to the past, we have to find balance. If you buy into that everything must be the way it truly was, your rate of creativity will probably not speed up the way you'd like it. How fast you want energy to create matter is based on how you are able to find the part of the group that formed you and your world, and then pick out your piece of it. And what was your life? Manage that spiritually to make a story. But no matter what, keep the dirt dangling on the roots, just as Charles Olson said. For what happens in writing too often, mostly in poetry, is that the poet wants to transcend immediately and write of beauty. I'm tired of beauty. I know when the poet is making nice and wants to be seen as quotable, and a spiritual being, But if she does not admit to failures, pettiness, crippled qualities, the hunger, the rejection, all the maimed and burned parts of oneself, if the writer does not invite these parts of himself or herself to the feast, setting a place for them at the table, then that poet will come and go, and I will read the work and never know who they were. W.D. Earhart is a poet who went back into the elevator of his life to one of his early elementary years. Now, Earhart had a problem stuttering, and he could not articulate what he felt. And this, of course, marked a terrible trauma in his early years. So this poem is rich with energy and felt life because it still has the power of what he thought. And it's called Reading Out Loud. I hated it, that inescapable moment each day my turn would come and I would have no choice except to read what David, Karen, Jimmy, and Suzanne read as if they were sliding on glass, not crashing through it, lurching, stumbling, every step a public demonstration of stupidity, every sentence ours. The teacher's cardboard smile and tapping foot, rustling in the chairs around me, giggles of the other kids Miss Connie used to punish me, pretending not to hear. This is Grace Cavalieri on writing, Poet Laureate of Maryland.